This year, Rosh Hashanah, Abba Aleinu Lateva, Yutaf Shin Ayin, will fall out the first day on Shabbos. So too will first day of Sukkot. So we'll have a Yakna Hazir with the Havdalah. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the mitzvah deraisa of Shofar, the first day of Sukkot, which is the mitzvah deraisa of Lulav and Dalad Minim, will fall out on Shabbos. The Mishnah, the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, says when Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Chalis B'Shabbos, so B'Migdash are you taken alive by Olayv and Medina. According to the Rambam, in the Pirush Mishnayis, it means that they would blow in the Beis Hamikdash and Yerushalayim, but not beyond that. According to Rashi in the Mishnah, he says, not in Yerushalayim and not beyond that either, only in the Beis Hamikdash. But you have the Rambam's opinion that in Yerushalayim, at least, they would blow. But the simple reading in the Mishnah, like Rashi learns, is only in the Beis Hamikdash. That's how most Rishonim learn, only in the Beis Hamikdash. And as we'll see, the Gemara gives the reason for that. But before we get into the halacha, some people may know this, may not know this, but in the year 1870, Yaakov Ettlinger, who was the Oruch Lener, the Baal Oruch Lener, gave a very fiery drasha. And in that drasha, he said and claimed that there's a historical phenomenon. And that is that he went through years and years of the calendar and looked at whenever Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, whenever the first day of Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, that year was either a terrific year for the Yidden, which means they didn't have any problems from the goyim of the nations that they were lived in their countries, were hosted by them. There was no problems with anti-Semitism, monetary problems. It was good years for the Jews. And he says, and as well, the worst years for the Jews were also on the year that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And he said he made a cheshbin that the years when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the first Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, were years that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. That's what Baruch Lener claimed, and therefore he abhorred the people. He was trying to encourage them to do tshuva properly, to be written b'sefer HaChaim. And he explained, one of the reasons he explained why this phenomenon should be like that was as follows. Says that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so then Shabbos has more of a say in the matter. Shabbos is a man d'omar, and the Shabbos itself goes before the Kiseh HaKavod and tries to advocate on behalf of Bnei Yisrael on the Yom HaDin. He tries to plead with Hashem. Shabbos tries to plead with Hashem that we should be judged favorably. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What's the difference? So the Aruch Lener gave a mashal of of a king who had an advisor who rebelled, did something wrong against the king, and therefore the king said he must be killed. And he tried to plead with the king, he tried to use his influence, nothing helped. So happened to be that this person's wife was the seamstress for the royal palace. And the wife said, listen, I'll try to see what I can do. And she indeed went to the king one day and said, you know, it's a real privilege to work here and I love working here, but if my husband is executed, I don't think I'm going to be able to work here any longer. So the king said, oh, well, you know, I need you so much and I appreciate your work. Let me see what I can do about it. And indeed, the husband was saved. And this happened to a different advisor of the king. And this advisor also was to be put to death. And his wife also had a very important position within the palace. So she also tried. She went to the king and tried to put in a good word for her husband. And the king looked at this woman and saw that she was all battered up and bruised. And he inquired, he saw, boy, this was an abusive husband. And he didn't pardon that husband because he says, this woman is good to me and I want to make sure that the husband gets what he deserves. That's the mashal that the Aruch Lener gives. So he says, so Shabbos comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pleads on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So in the years where Klal Yisrael were good to Shabbos, they kept Shabbos properly, Kitikunai, Kilchasa, then Hashem says, Shabbos is pleading on my behalf, on their behalf, and they have this good relation with Shabbos, I'm going to make sure it's going to be a good year. But in the years that Klal Yisrael relaxed in their Shmiras Shabbos, so Hashem says, I'm going to stick up for my Shabbos. I'm going to say, I'm going to want them to keep Shabbos better, so it won't be a good year, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Gezeiros and Klal Yisrael. That's what the Aruch Lener said. And as we'll see, after this drasha, there were those who wanted to take action based on this. But Al Kaponim, we see that we have a couple of more Shabbos left before Rosh Hashanah. And the Aruch Lener is saying that particularly in this year when there's a din, when there's a judgment on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbos comes to try to plead on our behalf, we have to be good to Shabbos. We have to make sure that our Kiyum and Shmiras Shabbos is how it should be expected to be. And perhaps even better than it has been this past year. We should try to be mechazik ourselves, particularly in Shmiras Shabbos, that therefore when Shabbos does advocate on our behalf, we should be indeed zeichet to a Shnatz Baruch of Yeshua. Lahalacha, the Mishnah says that when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, the Chacham made a gezeira because Shemi Avrenu Dal Ramis B'Shu Sarabim, lest somebody take the shofar and go learn how to blow. So they said, no blowing shofar on Shabbos. However, they did make an exception, and that was in the Migdash. One shot in that, why they made this exception in the Migdash, or according to the Rambam in Yerushalayim, because they shvus b'Migdash. The Tura Yevin asks on Rashi, it says ain't shvus b'Migdash. Tura Yevin suggests it should be a different shot, because ain't shvus b'Migdash, only things that pertain to the things in the Migdash, like washing the floor of the base of Migdash. Gzeiras d'Rabbanan could be put aside if it's something that pertains particularly to the Beis HaMikdash, to an Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, or for the covet of the Beis HaMikdash. But here the Shofar has no Shaychus anymore to the Beis HaMikdash than anywhere else in the world. And therefore he says, it's, in his opinion, it's a different reason. That even when the Chacham made this Takana, they didn't want to entirely abolish Tkiya Shofar. Seems that the Ran himself really says this. That they didn't want to do away entirely with Tkiya Shofar, and therefore they decided to keep it in certain places. In the Migdash, according to the Rambam Yerushalayim, and with that he explains, really the Sfasemis says the same idea, that's how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Mishachor Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that they would do it, if they only do it, only Ein Shvus b'Migdash, how could he be Misakin to do it anywhere else? He was Misakin any place that there was a Bezdin. The Ran says, "Kedei shalai teshtakach teiras shofar." So it could be he means that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted it himself without the previous takana. Or we can understand, like the Tura Yevin, that he understood that they didn't want to get rid of the mitzvah of shofar entirely, and therefore they were allowed to keep it in certain places. So then it was in the Beis HaMikdash. After that, it was in a place that had a bezdin. Three different opinions in Rishayim. Do you need a Bezdin of Sanhedrin HaGadol? Do you need a Bezdin of 71? Do you need a Bezdin of 23 at least, Sanhedrin Ketana? And then there's the famous opinion of the Rif. The Rif Shita was any Bezdin. Once you have a Bezdin, and once you're Bifnei Bezdin, like the Gemara says, then you can blow Shofar. The Rif held, if you have a Bezdin of three Rabbanim, and they're in the Bezdin, you can blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyesh B'Shabbos. The Sefer HaChinuch, I believe it's Mitzvah Shin Yud Aleph, when he writes about Shofar, when he talks about Shofar on Shabbos, he says that I myself heard that in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yitzchak Kalfasi, indeed they did blow Shofar on Shabbos, Shechaliyes B'Shabbos. The Rif went like his Shita, and in his yeshiva he blew Shofar on Shabbos. At the same time, in most other communities in the world where Jews lived, no Shofar was blown on Shabbos. Like you have the Gemara in Chulin, in the town of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira held that there's no gzeira of chicken with milk, oif with chalav, there's no gzeira, and in his town they used to eat chicken and milk together, there was no gzeira. But in the other place that they held like the Chachamim, they didn't. So here too, the Rif held that a bezin of three is sufficient, and therefore they used to blow shofar in the Rif's bezin. Let's discuss for a few minutes a different shaila. We learned the Gemara here that the Chachom made a takara, we don't blow Shofar on the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos because of this Gezeira, Shemi Avirenu. And therefore that is the takana, and that's the halacha. I don't believe we know any places that blow Shofar on the first day Rosh Hashanah. Does anybody know of a place? I know of a few places that blow first day Rosh Hashanah. One's right down the block. So, it's interesting that in this Reform Shul, conservative too? Only Reform. That they, I think they only have keep one day Rosh Hashanah. They figured out the Svek of the Yemis, that doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah too. And they indeed only have one right Rosh Hashanah, so that's the only day they got, so they're packing everything into that day. Whether it's the Shofar or whether it's the apple and honey, they're doing it on that day, regardless whether it's Shabbos or not. And they do blow Shofar on Shabbos. So it's a galechta, making a latzonis out of it, but it's very interesting that they do that. Question is like this, once the Chachamim made the takana, that indeed, we don't blow Shofar the first day Rosh Hashanah. We don't take lulav the first day Sukkot when it falls out on Shabbos. Does that mean that there is no longer a mitzvah? Did the Chachamim have the craft to take away the mitzvah of Shofar on this day? To take away the lulav on this day? Or they can't do that. They don't have the craft to abolish entirely a mitzvah d'oraisa. They just said, we know there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, but yesh kriach v'yach Chachamim lakar davim atar b'shev v'altasa. In a passive way, they have the ability to just sidestep a mitzvah d'oraisa, that they said because we're concerned, therefore don't perform this mitzvah, but they don't have the koyach to overturn and take away a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's the shaila. There's several nafkaminas in this question. Whether they entirely took away the mitzvah, there is no more mitzvah on this day, Rosh Hashanah, when it falls on Shabbos, or the mitzvah is still intact, midoraisa speaking, but yet the Rabbanit said, do not perform it. Several nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is, let's say a person forgot, or a shul forgot, and they blew shofar, and they made the bracha on the shofar, and they made the bracha of Shehecheyanu. So the halacha is, in Siman Tuf Reish, Mechaba says, Imchal Yom Rishon, this is in Siman Tuf Reish, Siv Gimel. Imchal Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, if the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, Omrim Shehecheyanu B'Shofar B'Yom Sheni. So the Shiach Yonu gets pushed to the second day. The Yeshayimim, the Ramah says, Lo'imra afilam chal yemishim b'choyl, v'chein amirim benin selu, to make the Shiach Yonu in either case. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, you only make one Shiach Yonu. Normally you make it on the first day. When it falls on Shabbos, you make it on the second day. So what happens if on this Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias b'Shabbos, they did blow Shofar? They forgot. They didn't realize they're not supposed to do it on Shabbos. They forgot it was Shabbos, so they blew Shofar and they made their Shiach Yonu. Now someone told them, hey, you aren't supposed to do that. Okay, what are you going to do? You do it the next day. Do you make a Shiach Yonu the next day or not? Well, that would depend. Now, it would depend. If you say that the Chachamim, what they did with their Takana was they said there is no mitzvah anymore, so they weren't Mekayim anything. They do tshuva for that, but the next day is the only mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. So you have to make a new Shiach Yonu. But if you say the Rabbanan didn't have the power to overturn the mitzvah is the Mekayim Ma'imedes, it's still a mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. They just have the power to say, passively sidestep the mitzvah, then Midei Reis you are Mekayim it, and therefore your Shiach Yonu is intact, you would have made it the second day. A second question, or a second afkamina. Second afkamina is from the Shailas Tshuvas Mimamakim. Chelek Dalid Simen Hay. The year was Tafshin Gimel, approximately 1942, in the Kovna ghetto, and it was approaching the Yom Nayroim, and they started thinking, the Yin, what kept them going, about 30,000 people we mentioned on Tisha B'Av in the Kovna ghetto. And they started thinking, what's going to be with Sukkos? They were confined to this ghetto, we can't get, very hard to get in and out, what's going to be with Sukkos? Will be able to Mekayim mitzvah sukkah? Would the Nazis allow us to build a sukkah? Is any way possible to get a lulav of an esrig? And they were becoming despondent. So happened to be then that shortly before Sukkot, as was common sometimes, that there were certain Jews who were experts in their field, whether experts engineers or expert in machinery and buildings, so they would be sent from different places, from the bigger cities to the smaller places, to fix a machine or to repair something. So there was a Yid from Vilna who was an expert in the particular machinery, and he was sent to the Kovna ghetto. Now he came with armed guards. He came with German soldiers. He can't just smuggle anything in. But he says if you would bribe the officer, if you would bribe the soldier, you could sneak things in. So word went around the Kovna ghetto that a Yid from Vilna, some engineer or something, came from Vilna, and he smuggled in an esrig. Mamish, then yumped it in the gas, and everybody was so ecstatic, they'll have the mitzvah of esrig this coming Sukkot. The problem was, they realized, they made a cheshbon, that the first day of Sukkot that year was Shabbos. Not a problem. They won't have the first day, they'll have the second day. The only problem is that this Jew, this engineer, had to leave on Matzai Shabbos. He had to be there for that day, or for those few days. After that, he was being shipped back to Vilna. So they came to Rav Oshri, and they said, what's the halacha? Could we come on first day Sukkot, which is Shabbos, and take this one esrig that we'll have for everybody to use, and be Mekai in the mitzvah of Dalet Minim to take the lulav and esrig on the first day of Sukkot. So Rav Ashri, when he goes into the Shaila, this is one of the Shailas. If you say that the Chachamim entirely uprooted this mitzvah, there is no more mitzvah of Shofar when it falls on Shabbos. There is no more mitzvah of lulav when it falls on Shabbos. So then it doesn't help. They could take a lulav all day, take the esrig all day. It doesn't help. There is no mitzvah. But if you say they just... And there's a concern that people may be over Nisa de Reis and carry on Shabbos, so therefore they said, we prefer you don't do it, but Avada the Mitzvah de Reis is still there. So he brings from the Chochma Shleima Kluger, when he's talking about Shofar actually. He says, a year that the Rosh Hashanah fell on a Shabbos and somebody forgot and he blew the Tkiyas, He wants to say that they were Yaitse. He wants to say there's Ruchach Mishlaima, that it can't be that they were just put the entire mitzvah aside. He quotes, and it seems from other places also, this is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva Eger, Avnei Nezer as a tshuva, is medayik from Rashi and Brachis, that they all seem to say that when you have a takana d'rabbanan, that they were afraid it would be over d'iraisa, therefore they said, don't do this mitzvah, the mitzvah still is in place. And the end of this tshuva, he says that he told the people, I can't say it's mutter and I can't say it's aser. In other words, indicating to people that if you do it, lo yifsid, you don't lose out if you do it. But I can't say that you have to do it. At that time also, the Dvar Avram, who was really the Rav in Kovna, in the Kovna ghetto, Rav Avram Shapira, was sick at the time, and that's why he couldn't be asked. And that's why many of the Shilas went to Rav Ashri. But afterwards, he says, after Sukkis, he went and asked him. Rav Ashri went and asked the Dvar Avram, what would if he paskin? And he told him his outcome, that he didn't say leheter leiser. And the Dvar Avram paskin, that he would say in this case, it's mutter. He said the Chachamim would never made their gzeira b'chiyai gavna. In a case where it's a unique situation, where you only have the mitzvah to perform the first day, you can't, it's not possible to do the second day, the mitzvah, he said the Chachamim would not have been gzeira. So that's the second nafkamina. A third nafkamina, whether we understand that there is no more mitzvah anymore when it falls out on Shabbos, or the mitzvah is still there, but the Chachamim just have the ability to b'shev al tasa, passively say, don't do the mitzvah, is as follows. After this drasha from the Orach Lener, that when Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it could be a terrible year, so there was a great gadol, Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger, wrote the Leva Ivri, the Teres Yechiel, and other svarim. And he, based in that same year, moved to Eretz Yisrael, traveled to Eretz Yisrael, that was the year about 1870. And he had in his mind, he says, somehow he's going to figure out a way, he could blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, even though it falls out on Shabbos. And when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he started gathering support from different Rabbanim. When he came with all of his rayas from the sugya, that we should be able to do it. And he tried to convince Rabbanim to allow him to do it. In the year 1882, he gathered enough Rabbanim and enough support to be able to convene a Bezdin. He tried to get a Bezdin of 23 to convene a Bezdin. They should be able to blow in that Bezdin, in front of the Bezdin, that they should be able to do that. In the end, many of them backed out. Many of them said, you can't change the minig of Yisena B'yodeinu, you can't change the Messiah that we have for hundreds of years. We haven't been blowing Shofar, we don't want to change it. They were too afraid, and therefore they all backed out. And he didn't accomplish it, he wasn't able to do it. But he didn't let up, and he continued to try to gather support. He had a few different reasons for why you should be able to blow. First of all, you have the Shita Sarif, that all you need is the Bezdin of three. Second of all, you have the Shita of the Rambam, if you're in Yerushalayim. The Rambam says, even Mikra Adin, you're supposed to blow in Yerushalayim. And the third reason he said was an interesting reason. He says there are many secular Jews that in either case, they're not listening to the Chacham. So for them, really, there's no excuse, he says, that, oh, here, we're not going to do this mitzvah. He says, they don't listen to the Chachamim anyway. So for them, sort of, it doesn't apply, this whole gezeira. And for them, they should blow on Rosh Hashanah, even though it falls out on Shabbos. So, I don't know if these synagogues are trying to be Mekayim this reason of Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger, that they blow shofar on the first day, that's why they do it. Yeah, it could be. But Al Kapanim, he's really giving a limud zchus for these places that they blow the shofar the first day of Shani. He says, for them it doesn't apply the whole gzeira of the Rabbanan that you shouldn't blow. So therefore he says, therefore at least we should try to get them to blow. The Adera said in the early 1900s, he says that if Rabbi Kiva Yosef blows shofar this coming year, was in the 1906 it fell out on Shabbos again, he says if he blows shofar, if I hear he blows shofar, so I can't go into the room to show my support because all the Rabbanim are against it, but I'm going to go behind the wall and I'm going to listen to Tkiyah Shofar. So that's another nafkamina. If you say there is no mitzvah anymore, so even if I know someone's blowing shofar, no reason in the world, is no inyan for me to go hear shofar. But if the mitzvah is still intact, and they just, the Chachamim just, B'Shem Al-Taz, say you shouldn't do it, but the mitzvah still is, if I know someone is blowing shofar, and he has his reasons why he says it's mutter, then l'chayr I can go at least hear the mitzvah shofar. And if I'm, if indeed there is still a mitzvah, you mekayim mitzvah shofar. Now you want to say, should you go to outside? You don't mean go inside the synagogues. You mean go outside on the And the shaila is if his bracha is a bracha anyway that you wouldn't, So without the bracha, you just want to hear the shofar. I would take David with you. Make sure they're kosher before you, the tkiyas are kosher. Yeah, just to conclude, and we'll leave this as some homework for those who want to be ma'ayin further in this sugya. And there are some achreinim who want to say that whether this mitzvah is still intact, or whether the chachamim have the ability to actually uproot a mitzvah deraisa entirely, would seem to be a machlekes rishonim. Where? Bavli Yerushalmi. I was going to say it's only machlekes rishonim. Where's the machlekes rishonim? In Sukkah? In Sukkah, Dav Gimel Amar Aleph, there's a teisvis. It's machlekes beisham and beisil. One of the places, I think it's six places, that we pass in like beishamai, is if someone is sitting in his sukkah, but the table that he's eating at is outside the sukkah. So Bishame says, you can't eat in such a sukkah with your table outside of the sukkah. Why? Because since the food is outside, we are worried that the person may be drawn towards the food instead of towards the sukkah. And for that reason, they said that your person is not yaitzah. So Tosva says that when Beis Shammai says this, Beis Shammai says, you're not even Yotzeh Midei Raisa. When he says, like, Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkum Yamecha, Sukkumar later, and Chavches, Afilu Midei Raisa Loikayim. You're not Mikayim, your Mitzvah even Dei Raisa. Now, the other Rishayim, the Ran, the Ritva, they said it was just a strong Lashem, and they didn't mean you're not Mikayim, your Mitzvah Dei Raisa. He meant that the Rabbanon said, we're viewing it as if you're not Mikayim it. But it seems to be a Machlekes Rishayim over here, that when you have the Chachamim put a gzeira into a mitzvah deraisa, whether they entirely took away the mitzvah deraisa or not. So it would seem in our Shiloh, then when you have Rosh Hashanah Shchalis B'Shabbos or Sukkah Shchalis B'Shabbos, do you still have the mitzvah, or the Chacham took away the mitzvah entirely? Would seem to be depending on this Machlekes Rishayim. Is that the case? Or Rav Shel Chalik? What's the chilek? In which case, by Shofar?
No, by Sukkah.
By Sukkah?
It's possible if the table was completely inside, you could be Mekayim.
Right, so therefore in that case they said you're not Mekayim it?
No. I don't understand that. I mean, that's possible. Shofar, it's impossible. Either you can carry or you can't carry. But sukkah, there's a way of fixing it.
Right. So besides, why should that make a difference?
It's part of the definition of what a sukkah is. Right? That's part of the definition of what a sukkah is. It has to be a place where you can sit with your shulchan inside. Here, what you're saying, it's not, it doesn't affect what the definition of the mitzvah shofar is. You're just saying something's blocking you from being in the mitzvah shofar.
as opposed to the case of the sukkah,
where that's part of the definition of what a sukkah is.
And as they said, that when the Beis Shammai was saying, when you have a sukkah with your table outside the sukkah, so you're not being mekayim the sukkah in the surah that we want you to be mekayim in it. The sukkah has to be that you and your table and all your things are inside the sukkah. If it's only half size, so if we're viewing it as if you're outside the sukkah, how can you mekayim the mitzvah sukkah if you're outside the sukkah? Okay? As opposed to here, this was just a side issue. They were a concern that you may carry it, but it wasn't intrinsic into the mitzvah itself. Alright, that's a nice chilek. Others want to make the chilek more from the way they the gezeira, the way they said it. As over here they said that if someone ate in the sukkah with this shulchan outside the sukkah, then we're saying you're not yoitzer. Ain't a mekayim mitzvah sukkah like he the mitzvah sukkah le'olam. And as there they said, in order to make sure a person doesn't do it because of the concern he may be drawn outside the sukkah, therefore they said we're going to say you're not mekayim that mitzvah. So we're there where they did impose this. This extra stringency to say that you're not even mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. So there could be, according to Taish's opinion, they took away the mitzvah. But here you don't find that. You don't find that lashon used by the mitzvah of Shofar or not. And that's where you see that the consensus of the Achrenim, we mentioned with Kivega, the Amnei Nezer, Chochma Shleima, that they all felt that indeed, even a Yom Tishchali is Rosh Hashanah Shechali is B'Shabbos, or Sukkah Shechali is B'Shabbos in Yom Rishayim, they still felt that there is indeed a mitzvah intact. If someone would blow, if he forgot by mistake, or someone did blow, indeed, he still would be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. And he would be mekayim the mitzvah of shofar as well. Yeah, so, it's kedai at least to remember this Aruch Lenard, and when it falls out on Shabbos, it could be a terrific year, or it could be a terrible year. And one of the reasons he explained, as we mentioned, is that depends how we treat Shabbos. If we treat Shabbos well, then on Shabbos, where we say there should not be a Yom Teruah, but it should be just a Zichron Teruah, and the Zichron Teruah, the Psukim that we'll mention, that will give the Koyach to Shabbos to come and speak on our behalf on Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Adin, we shall be Zeichet to a Shnas Chaim, the Yeshua, the Shalom.